Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Marty will be joining us in the next hour. We've got a lot to cover this morning. And it's kind of the good, the bad, the ugly. And I know that when this happened over the weekend, it kind of gives a lot of people pause and angst for very good reasons. The fact that Israel was attacked by Iran. And Paul, you said how many missiles, drones, and ballistics?
Around 300, Larry.
And the remarkable part is very few got through.
Almost none.
There was one tragic death, shrapnel to a young girl, but it could have been so much worse. And
Israel says 99% were taken out.
And they have been set up for this for many years with that technology.
But they had the help of Saudi Arabia and Jordan and the United States. The Saudis and the Jordanians were helpful in tracking the incoming drones and missiles. These were fired from Iran. It took several hours for them to get to where they were going. What I was reading this morning in a very good article in the Wall Street Journal says that Saudis had contacts in Iran who were telling them about the planning for the attack. And that's how it got telegraphed. That's how everybody knew it was coming. And I guess the Iranians, you know, decided to go ahead anyway. Maybe the idea was by putting it out there, we could, you know, prevent them from launching the attack. I don't know. But anyway, the Saudis would tip off our forces, the French, the Jordanians, the British were all shooting these things down as they were on their way to Israel.
And it makes a lot of people uneasy because, you know, then you see on the social media, we're on the verge of World War III, and they're going to suck all these countries into this battle, which in a way they already have.
You know, it was, for me at least, I was deeply concerned on Saturday about, you know, this thing becoming a regional war. And for it to turn out the way it did is, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better outcome.
That region has always been such a hotbed, but where we stand today, it's been a long time since it seems like that whole region is teetering on the brink.
I remember doing news in my first job in radio. We were required to read some news like once an hour. And I remember talking about Lebanon and Israel and Gaza, Jordan. Just, we've never not been talking about it.
Right. For as long as anyone can remember. And from Tel Aviv, CBS's Deborah Pata has the latest.
Iran's first ever direct attack on Israel, dragging their shadow war into the open. Israel's powerful air defense systems intercepted more than 300 Iranian drones and missiles. Hardline Iranian supporters celebrated the strikes as the regime boasted their Operation True Promise had exceeded expectations. Israel's war cabinet favors retaliation, but is divided on timing. A former senior Israeli diplomat to the U.S., Adam Pincus, told us the stakes are high for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
If the U.S. puts its weight on him not to retaliate, he will be basically paralyzed and incapable of reacting. He could go ahead and do this, but the risk would be extraordinarily high.
Pincus said Netanyahu has wanted to escalate the conflict with Iran since November to detract from his political problems at home, including growing anger over his mishandling of the war in Gaza. For Palestinians trapped in that war, there is no distraction from the misery. Tired of living in tents, thousands defied Israeli orders not to return to the northern part of Gaza. We're dead either way, Sujud Abu Ubaid said, and I'd rather die in my home. But some never made the perilous journey home. More than 20 injured were rushed to hospital after Israeli soldiers opened fire, killing at least one woman. Everyone else was forced to turn around with the menacing sound of fighter jets overhead, terrorizing young children already traumatized by more than half a year of war.
There was only minimal damage to an Israeli military base, but a further escalation of this conflict that nobody wants is still not out of the question. Deborah Patter, CBS News, Tel Aviv, Israel.
Larry, I'm speechless. I'm not sure if I should say this or not, but I'll go ahead and say it. I'm shocked that this reporter would turn the story about the successful avoiding of war into a piece about the suffering of the Palestinian people. I'm shocked that she would say that Netanyahu is mishandling the operations in Gaza. I don't know how you could possibly succeed there. I just completely disagree with that reporting.
It's such a mess.
It's just not fair.
It's such a mess.
Yes, it is.
And on a daily basis here, you know, there are a lot of people here that have direct connections, obviously, so it is important. But it's such a mess to untangle. Where do we go from here?
I was on a Zoom call with a friend who has relatives in Israel, and his relief yesterday was palpable. I mean, you could tell that this was a gigantic sigh of relief came out of him. The way I look at this, too, Larry, you know, this would all end if Hamas would surrender. The hostilities would end. We could get back to cleaning up Gaza and, you know, getting humanitarian aid in there and rebuilding infrastructure and the things that need to happen.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
Coming up, you'll hear what did happen over the weekend at the White House. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY, anytime. Take us with you wherever you go, and we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather, and even high school sporting events, too. Paul, I happened to be at the Heinz History Center yesterday for a little tour with some family and friends, and that place is such a gem. If you haven't been for a while, recently named number one museum in the country.
What was new to you?
For me, it was the exhibit on women, women's place, and the contributions women have made for the city. And I learned a lot. You know, things you take for granted. The other thing you notice is, if you spend time around the museum, you see names that you've seen around town forever, and you get the story of why these people were important enough that they named things after them, right? You know what I'm saying? So
I do. A friend was explaining to me Curto Park.
Right.
Yeah. As an
Frank
example.
Curto.
Right.
And that's that park that is kind of obscure because it sits right on
the side of Bigelow there.
Yeah, on the top of the mountain.
I passed that the other day.
Heading out of town. Yeah, so if you haven't been for a while, the Heinz History Museum is worth it. And there were so many people downtown yesterday. You mentioned the North Shore that you're going to talk about. Also at Point State Park. And there was a big AAU basketball tournament at the convention center. And with the weather being so nice, there were people walking around everywhere. City had a real vibe, although they were still cleaning the 10th Street bypass, but they got that done. So everything's back to normal except the Mon Wharf for parking.
Most likely, yeah. By the way, Frank Curto, if you're not aware, was the chief horticulturist for the Department of Parks and Rec for the city of Pittsburgh for quite a long time, and also was the foreman of the Phipps Conservatory.
I did not know that.
This is a person who contributed a lot of the pleasant sights in Pittsburgh or his work.
Yeah, they made major contributions. Meanwhile, wanted to give you an update on what's being talked about at the White House based on what transpired over the weekend in Israel and the attack from Iran. CBS's Anne-Marie Green.
U.S. forces destroyed more than 80 drones and at least six missiles bound for Israel. President Biden personally thanked the fighter squadrons for the successful mission.
You guys are the best in the whole damn world, man.
Mr. President,
We thank you for your words.
President Biden also met with G7 leaders by video conference Sunday in an effort to stop an all-out war in the region. The world leaders condemned Iran's attack and expressed solidarity and support to Israel. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest from the White House.
A U.S. official with direct knowledge of the conflict in Israel tells CBS News President Biden told Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu America will not participate in a retaliatory strike on Iran following Saturday's drone and missile attack, though the administration says it will protect U.S. forces and troops in the region if they're threatened.
They wanted to cause damage, no question about that. But they were utterly unsuccessful in doing so.
Senior administration officials called Israel's defense, quote, spectacular, touting the extraordinary level of coordination from allies to help. But the challenges still remain in the region and with public perception.
What I think Israel should do is pause for the moment, consult with its close allies and partners, assess the damage and the activity, and then decide what is the most appropriate response.
A new CBS News poll released Sunday, gathered before Iran's attack, shows nearly 40% of Americans want President Biden to encourage Israel to stop military actions in Gaza. 63% of Americans say that more humanitarian aid should be sent to Palestinians, but most Republicans polled still oppose that. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill agree Israel needs support, but what that measure looks like is still in question.
The best way to help Israel rebuild its anti-missile and anti-drone capacity is by passing that supplemental.
Skylar Henry, CBS News, the White House.
And let's go to AccuWeather's World Headquarters, meteorologist Dean DeVore. Dean, good morning. It was a bumpy night for a lot of people when that line of very intense thunderstorms roared through.
Yeah, woke me up. It was just such an amazing to see that line stretching as far west to east across the Commonwealth and coming right down through. The last of those have moved through now to the south and east of the city. So I'm going to take that little mention out of the morning. But yeah, we got a little bit of a bump there with the temperatures yesterday getting so warm. Today is not going to be quite as warm behind that little front, but still pretty darn nice. The skies will turn out mostly sunny. Temperatures up in the low to mid 70s for this afternoon. Then mid 40s tonight, tomorrow, back up in the low to mid 70s. Another nice day. Now, some shower and thunderstorm chances start going up towards the end of the day, but certainly tomorrow night into Wednesday, we could have some strong to perhaps severe storms. So we're going to have to keep an eye on, Larry. Temperatures near 70 on Wednesday, and those thunderstorms could have wind damage and some flash flooding, hail, and maybe even an isolated tornado. We got to keep an eye on that. Although the danger for that may be to our south and west. Then the rest of the week looks what I would call active or unsettled. A couple of showers, especially in the morning on Thursday, mid-60s, and then a shower too possible Friday, mid to upper 60s. Heading forward into the weekend, not as warm as we'd like, especially after this past weekend. May start with a couple of showers Saturday. Looks sunnier on Sunday, but highs over the weekend ahead are going to stay in the mid to upper 50s. So enjoy this bonus warmth that we got yesterday and certainly here today on the way.
Dean, I'm surprised that there are so few power outages in our area after the kind of winds we had last night.
Yeah, some of those gusts, 40, 50, 60 miles per hour. I agree, Paul. It was pretty nasty. Maybe that's just it was quick enough to go through in some areas that it didn't cause the damage or the problems that we thought. But yeah, I mean, even here, I was a couple of times I woke up wondering what I'd find on my back deck this morning, and sure enough, two of my deck chairs were over, and certainly sounded like that last night as I got woken up here in State College. So, yeah, it was a little surprising. We didn't see more evidence of damage here with those storms overnight.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh missed the first wave of thunderstorms, which came in the early evening, and then everybody got a dose overnight. So here we are. Rainfall, flooding over the weekend. Friday was another nasty day, as you know here. We are way above normal for the month of April. This could be the wettest month on record, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, we've already had now two of our rainiest days ever in the month of April at the top of the list. That day on April 2nd and the day last week where we, had 2.5 or more inches. Both those days were single records, and now they are the rainiest days in April. We're well on our way to be the rainiest month. It is going to be interesting because it's not just widespread synoptic rain that we're seeing. We're going to see more showers and thunderstorms. But that can be feast or famine. You know, one place can get next to nothing and then a few miles one way or the other and get under some of those heavier thunderstorms, and they could ramp up to a half an inch or an inch in some of these. So those are things we're going to watch. We're slowly coming down, but this is that time of year when we're making these big temperature moves, going into the upper 70s, low 80s, and then finishing the week in the 50s, that we're going to see the possibilities of these stronger storms and certainly more rain squeezing out. Interesting information and some research now. We talk about atmospheric rivers. We've been talking about that a lot over the last several years out west, where these just hoses of moisture come towards the west coast and create flooding problems there. We've been seeing that in the northeast the last couple of years. And so these are things that we have to watch in these scenarios, especially when we are already so bad in terms of the flooding situation that we are right now. Every little bit counts, and we'll keep an eye on that here, especially as we get to the second half of the week with these showers and thunderstorms again.
Dean DeBoer, thank you, sir.
Have a great morning, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll keep you up to date here on KDKA.
So there you go, Paul. Wet.
Dean used a word I've never heard before. Synoptic rain.
Synoptic rain, yes.
Do you know what synoptic is? It
means it's scattered showers.
All right.
Synoptic. As opposed to one line.
It's a pretty big weather word. But yeah, it was really nice to see that first line of thunderstorms go wide right last night.
I sat there on my deck watching, and my family was like, what are you doing?
The sky darkened really bad, really dark.
I told them it's not going to rain here yet, and I hated to be right. But meanwhile, real quick on tax deadline day, because obviously I don't know what the percentage is of people to wait to the last day. If you think you owe money, you got to write a check. You got to be a good estimator, because you can get fined if you don't hit the number, right?
Still got to pay.
Right. So in a sense, you have to figure out your taxes anyway, then write a check and send it in with a form 4868, IRS form for the federal.
I did my taxes Saturday. I kind of put it off because I had to write a check to Uncle Sam this year. Small refunds from the local and state returns. But I would just like to say that whoever it was that came up with the software for the state of Pennsylvania to file online and for me to do my filing up in Southern Butler County up there, whoever designed the software for those, they were both sadists.
Yeah.
I mean, I was as frustrated as a person could be for a good 2.5 hours on Saturday trying to get these things done.
There's a billion questions you have to answer.
And I have a very simple return. Not complicated at all.
Right. If most people just have a W-2 from their employer, then it is very simple. But it's still, you have to go through the process answering all those questions, even if it's no.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very tedious. But again,
a friend of mine suggested that next year I should just stop being a cheapskate when it comes to this thing. Take my stuff to somebody I trust and let them file for me.
Well, there's the old joke. The IRS come out with a simplified form. It's called "How much did you make?" and send it in. It's only two lines. So, yeah.
No kidding.
But it can be high anxiety for a lot of people today. But you can get an extension. If you think you owe, you got to write a check, and you better be a good estimator. And that extension form for the federal government is 4868. And then you got to do the same for state and local, too. So good luck. Coming up, Marty Griffin will join Paul and I. And Marty has a story about a little pizza shop that's getting what he considers to be pressured by the city, bullied. You know, all the little businesses, the small business community that really make up the bulk of a lot of the fabric of this economy here and everywhere in the country, really. Small businesses matter, no matter how small they are.
Well, now you got my attention. I want to hear what's happening and where and to who.
And also this Donald Trump trial, trying to set a jury, is going to be a challenge. For or against, when they go through the jury pool, let me ask you this question, Paul. Would there be anybody who hasn't heard of Donald Trump or have an opinion of Donald Trump, one way or the other?
No. This case is being tried in New York, Manhattan. And, excuse me, there's no possibility here that it could be a fair trial. There's no possibility. The jury pool is, you know, very much against Donald Trump. You know, I would say but overwhelmingly so.
So there's their request to change the venue, possibly move to another state. That's probably not going to happen either, because I would argue there's almost nowhere you can go where you don't have people with strong opinions one way or the other.
Right. I wonder, you know, if you could get a jury pool of people without strong opinions about Donald Trump. I would like to point out a person who I follow on X, Jonathan Turley. He's frequently called before Congress to testify on constitutional law matters, has pointed out that this issue, this hush money case, was looked at by the feds, and they decided not to prosecute.
Interesting. Here's another question. So if you're selecting a jury, right, both sides, and you're trying to find someone who's, I don't know, you can't find anyone who hasn't heard of Donald Trump, right?
I would imagine.
But if you did, would you want them on the jury or doing anything else?
Oh, man.
If someone that's that out of it that doesn't know about Donald Trump one way or the other.
It's a nightmare. Think about it. If you're in the jury pool in Manhattan and you get called and selected for this, this thing could drag on for quite some time. That would be so tedious day after day with the media circus that would be ensuing, right?
And you cannot make this stuff up.
No.
So you have a former president, a former porn star, and the guy who published a National Enquirer at the time is named David Pecker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving you the facts. That obviously is going to occupy a lot of ink today and for the foreseeable future. But it's historic in the sense that a former president has never faced this kind of criminal trial, correct?
It is a first, historical in that regard. Also, over the weekend, the Trump people released a statement that was issued by Stormy Daniels, recanting basically what she had said earlier about alleging an affair.
So now she's saying she didn't.
No, that's exactly what it is. This is so twisted and convoluted.
But this is not the only part of what's being alleged. So they're going to sift through all this, and we'll see where it goes. They'll be following this, and this will be, I don't want to say the trial of the century, because we already had that one, right, with OJ.
Yeah, that was.
In terms of people's interest level, good and bad, people want to know where this is going to go, and it's really important in a presidential election year. And what if? We'll see.